1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you that ye not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. And Lord, as we go down through the scriptures, we want to rightly divide them. Help us, Lord, dear God, to help keep the church right. Help to keep the church pure, Lord. May every heart be open, and may we be diligent in this matter, understanding that we have an enemy, Lord, that goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to guard against, dear God, these sins that we're going to address tonight. And Lord, that we would keep a diligent watch of our own lives, dear God, and that you would protect the church of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. And you may be seated. All right. I got a call from my son-in-law, Gerald Clanny, and from time to time he goes to the website and enjoys listening to his father-in-law preach from time to time. And so every once in a while he'll call me about a message. So he called me the other day, and he has a theme this year. It's not exactly like our theme, but really without us talking or planning this, knowing the other was, he decided in his church that he wanted to spend some time really emphasizing the home. So their theme for this year is home related, just like our theme is home related. And he said, I got on the website to see what you'd preached of late, and he said there was two messages there, 7 ways the church can strengthen the home, and then another one on 7 ways the home can strengthen the church. And then he said, what I'd like you to, he said, I listened to both of them. He said, man, I want to teach that. I want to bring those messages to my congregation. And he said, but I don't want to study. So would you just email me the notes? And you think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding, you know. But he said, now I could listen to them and take notes, but if you just send them to me, it really saved me a lot of time. We are very busy. And besides, I'm trying to help out your middle daughter. You know, okay, all right, okay, I get it. I get it. All right. For the grandkids, I'll send you the sermons, you know. So, but he loved the concept. He said, you know, he said so many times, Lord, people, you know, if we're not careful, if we're not conducting the church properly, and we may think that we're trying to help the homes, but we could inadvertently be hurting a home. And he said, same thing with a home. If we're not careful, a home could be hurting a church. And he said, I just loved listening to it, and I was going to do that. And I talked to him about it in the conversation. I said, well, I really have an 8th way that the church can strengthen the home. And I said, but it doesn't. We didn't have time to add it to that list in one Bible study. I'm going to teach on it separately. And I shared with him a little bit about what I was going to cover tonight. But I believe if our church is going to have a heart for the home, One of the ways we can protect our homes is for the church. And by the way, this is the church's responsibility to deal properly with immorality within the church. I believe that one of the reasons that immorality is rampant and has and is becoming more and more common amongst the brother, amongst the people of God, is because the church is ignoring its responsibility in dealing with these issues. And I can remember when I was just a teenager, and my dad here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church had to deal with a situation where a man began to carry on an affair behind his wife's back, and it became known, it became out. He was unrepentant about it, and still wanted to come to the church and wanted to kind of flaunt it. And my dad, by the way, what I'm going to talk about tonight as far as the putting away of that man, it's not the first step that you take. You know, I'm not going to take time to do it, but if you go over to this instruction given by the Lord Jesus Christ, he talks about, listen, folks, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And, you know, I believe that the first reaction every time we hear about somebody that is battling a sin or falling into sin ought not to be, how can we eject them? It ought to be, how can we restore them? And there's a process that we go through, and Jesus outlines that about going to that man, and then if he doesn't listen, to take some others from the church with you. And you know, that Dad dealt with it in steps behind the scenes, privately, in no way wanting to embarrass the wife or embarrass the husband. When this man just became haughty and unrepentant and was basically coming to church flaunting this sin, there was a time when my dad had to bring his name before the church and have him voted off the membership. I can still remember that happening. And I remember very much the way my dad handled that. Now, the reason it's really quiet in here right now is because that's almost unheard of in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Too many times things are going on in this matter of immorality, and people just are aware of it, but they don't say anything about it. Sometimes they help secret it so that it doesn't be found out by the church leadership. Sometimes when church leadership finds out about it, they don't act on it. They don't do anything about it. They're more worried about losing families in the church. My dad said something to me a long time ago that really helped me. He said, Jerry, he said, my job is not to build the church. He said, that's the job of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, a pastor, I don't think that my job is to make the church bigger. It's to keep it pure. And we do that through the preaching of the Word of God and through dealing with situations like this. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. I think from time to time the church needs to hear this. I think it helps the church to understand, to have a little bit of fear in this matter. I want you to understand at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if you're going to come here, attend here, be a member here, then you know what? You're not going to live a publicly immoral life and have me just wink at it or ignore it or not do something about it. And I would ask you, please, I mean this as a member of this church, don't do that, number one, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that. I mean, what are we doing? Are we saved or are we not? Are our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit of God or are they not? You know what? If folks would just do right in this area, it'd never be an issue in the local assembly. So first of all, don't do it to Jesus. Number two, don't do it to your church. Don't put your church in a situation where they have to deal with something like this. Don't put your pastor in that situation. Do you think that I would relish any of that if it came to the fact that I had to do what my dad did? You think I would relish that? You think I would enjoy that? You don't think that would hurt my heart and hurt the heart of your brothers and sisters in Christ? And so I guess I'm appealing to the congregation. Let's in this area be right with the Lord. And let's make sure that we're not living a double life or living some type of a double life. Because if you are going to be a member here and you're going to attend this church, you're not going to live a life of fornication without it being dealt with. And we'll deal with it in proper steps because my job and my goal is restoration. But if you are unrepentant about it and you want to think, well, I'm just going to come here and continue doing this and nothing's going to be done about it, something will be done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church about it and should be done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Why? Because of the young people here. because I don't want them to think that that's accepted or normal or something that they can think about doing later on in life. And so we have clear instruction here in 1 Corinthians. So I'm going to teach on this tonight, teach through this chapter, dealing with immorality within the church, dealing with immorality within the church. Let's start in verse number 1. We're going to go down through this kind of verse by verse and get instruction tonight. First of all, notice in verse 1, the shame of fornication within the church. Notice it is reported commonly that there is fornication. By the way, where is this fornication? Among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So what's the situation here? This has become something that is commonly known and commonly reported. This should not surprise us in some ways that this sin has begun to find root and a welcome in the church of Corinth. And let me just give you a first Bible principle. Preacher, why do you think that fornication crept into the church of Corinth? Because carnality always produces corruption. Carnality, let me give you a Bible principle. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, listen to me. That one of the reasons that I believe that they got to the point where there was fornication in the church and it was being accepted was because this had turned into a very carnal church. I may have to get a bottle of water, Brother Eric, if you'll help me with that. That grape juice is about the worst thing in the world to put on your vocal cords and then try to preach. It says take a little wine, and that's grape juice, by the way, for thy stomach's sake. It doesn't say a thing about it helping with vocal cords. And so my stomach will be better, but I'll struggle with my voice tonight a little bit. Now, notice, if you will, go back, say, preacher, where do you find that? Well, across the page of your Scofield Bible, you'll read in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, thank you very much, that the Bible says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. That gives, there's two types of Christians that you can be and aspire to be. I talked about it this morning in our Sunday school class. You can be a spiritual Christian or you can be a carnal Christian. The word carnal just means fleshly. If you look up the word, that's what it means, fleshly. And he said this. He said, I wish I could speak unto you as spiritual. There's so many things I'd like to teach you and talk to you about that spiritual people can receive. But if you notice this letter, this entire letter is one mostly of rebuke. And simply because of the sin and the carnality that had been allowed in this church. And he goes on to say, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. There it is again. For wherein there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Paulus, are ye not carnal? I mean, folks, there it is. Carnal, 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 carnal. It's four different times. He said, listen, be honest with you. You're very fleshly. You're a very flesh-driven. Remember when we're reborn? I talked about Sunday school. We got that reborn spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit now. And so the proper order is the Holy Spirit communicating with our reborn spirit and affecting our mind to spiritual thoughts and activities and decisions and emotions, and for the flesh to be denied, the flesh to be crucified. And that's the proper order. That's the order of a spiritual Christian. If the train is running is set up with the cars in the right position, you have the Holy Spirit as the engine, pulling your spirit, affecting your spirit, which is affecting your soul, which is your mind, your heart, your will, and then the caboose is way back here. That's the flesh. And you know what? That is to be crucified daily. That is not to be coddled. That is not to be fed. That is not to be the lust of the flesh, at least, is not to be. And so they had the train turned around. The Christians in this church had the flesh as the engine pulling the train. And because of that, it was affecting their soul, which is their mind, their mind and their heart and their will, and their spirit, newborn spirit. These are Christians. It says they're Christians. Newborn spirit, though, is starved And the Holy Spirit is basically the caboose. Go to the back and don't bother us. Okay? And that's the order of a carnal Christian. So we want to make sure we've got the train going. Now, what's the problem with that? I don't want to get off to a teaching of that. Here's the problem. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Folks, carnality in a church will eventually produce moral corruption. So a church that holds the standards of purity in its preaching, its music, its dress, its program, in the church members and their choice of the proper type of entertainment, in the home, personal standards, their private entertainment being pleasing to the Lord, their music, their lifestyle, all of these things. If you keep a spiritual home and you have a church of spiritual Christians, then we're sowing to the Spirit, and of the Spirit we can reap life everlasting. And that's not talking about earning your way to salvation. That means that we have a great chance to see other people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this shouldn't really surprise us. They're flesh-driven, the worshiping of the flesh. Now, folks, by the way, this is the progressive church. The progressive modern church is designed to appeal to the flesh of its members in its music, in its program, in its entertainment, in its direction. It's all about exciting and or appeasing the flesh. Well, the problem with that is when you construct that situation, don't be surprised if there's a bunch of corruption that starts coming out of that church. And if when it starts coming out, that type of a church will never deal with it. You know, they won't deal with it properly. And as we're going to learn in just a minute, it becomes a leaven in the church, and before long, the leaven leavens the whole lump, and you've just got a mess on your hands. Now, let me look first of all in verse number one and say this, folks. That's a shame. It's a shame that that is even mentioned in the church of Jesus Christ, this matter of fornication. Say, preacher, when you're talking about fornication, what are you talking about? I'm going to teach this properly, and those of you that have children, you have no worries. Listen to me, though. Fornication is the indulging of satisfying of an unlawful lust, or an unlawful desire. What is morally pure? What does the Bible teach as being morally pure? Well, folks, it all revolves around the idea of marriage. Okay, young people, you're to be pure before marriage. Those of you that are married are to be faithful in your marriage. And those of you that are after marriage need to be obedient to what the scripture tells you to be and to do after marriage. What are you talking about after marriage? I'm talking about when a marriage has ended. And sometimes it ends because of divorce. Sometimes it ends because of a spouse that dies. But it's very important that purity is and obedience and faithfulness drives your life. So you show me a young person that's pure before marriage, and then when they do get married, they stay faithful in marriage. And if that marriage ends, then they follow carefully the Bible instruction about how they're to handle their brand new situation. If you find somebody that'll do that, you'll find somebody that'll maintain the blessing of God upon their life. And so when we talk about fornication, we talk about purity, it always revolves around this idea of marriage, okay, marriage. So that's what he's dealing with here. So what is he dealing with specifically in the church of Corinth here? Well, here's the situation. It was reported commonly that there's fornication among you. Not somebody that had left your church and was involved in it, but someone who was still there in the church. Such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. It's not talking about his biological mother, or it would have said that. It says his father's wife. So his father had been married to a woman, and then this son began an affair with his father's new wife. It was commonly reported in the church. It was commonly known in the church. And you know what? As we see down in the scriptures, they weren't even ashamed about it. They weren't even ashamed. And so they gloried. Look at verse number 6. Your glorying is not good. Now watch this. If you're not careful, you're going to start glorying in this matter of being tolerant of fornication. Well, you just don't understand. We just believe that we need to be compassionate. We just believe that we need to love. And we just believe that, you know, that's between them and the Lord. And you can spiritualize disobedience. They were glorying in it. It's amazing how many churches actually glory in the... You know how many preachers in this community would condemn someone who actually followed the scripture, a church that followed the scriptures, and dealt with the matter of fornication in the church? There'd be many of them that condemn us as being unchristian for following the Bible and glory in the fact that they would never do such a thing. And that's where the church of Corinth is. You know what kind of churches would have that attitude? Carnal churches. Okay, carnal churches. Now stay with me here, okay? Specifics, fornication was being tolerated in the church of Corinth. It involved a man, and I've already talked about the relationship there. And you can do a study on the father's wife in the Old Testament law concerning the taboo of this relationship. Whether or not the father is still alive or not is not the question. It was wrong. It was against the laws of God. And it shouldn't have been tolerated, okay? Now, stay with me. How is the church preacher supposed to deal with fornication within the church? Now, let me say this again. Young people, you need to all listen to me. I'm talking about those of you that are not yet married. You know what? Purity before marriage. Okay? It's a serious thing. It's not a joke. It's not going to be something that's going to be winked at. It's not going to be something that we're going to ignore. I'm not bad for dealing with it. You're bad for creating the situation in the first place. But if you are overtaken in that, I promise you, you've got a pastor that loves you and cares about you. And if you are repentant, we'll do everything I can to get you restored back into the perfect will of God and right with God and right with the church and get things fixed. But if you're unrepentant or you're a pretend repenter and then sneak around and become a serial offender, then sooner or later, I'm going to deal with it. Because I've got to protect the other young people in this church. I have to protect the young people in this church. Only the deacons, I think, would know what I'm talking about. But since I've been pastor here, I had a man that was involved in serial situations, more than one situation in the church, that had to do with him either having or trying to have immoral relationships. I had him come to the conference room. I had our deacons there, and I looked him in the eyeball and said, "You are not allowed, I want you to make this very clear, ever to step foot on the property of this church ever again." He got up and walked out, and he's never stepped foot on the property again. Say, "Preacher, that's mean." No, I'd gone through all of the steps. I had worked for months with this man. But you know what? No matter what he would say to me in my office, he'd sneak around and do the opposite behind my back. And I have ladies in this church that I need to protect. I have young ladies in this church that I need to protect. I'm not going to let a sexual predator find a comfortable place at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, I'm a pastor. That means shepherd. It's my job to take the staff and guard the flock and... Well, why are you saying these things out loud? Because you know what? I want you to understand something. Listen, I don't suspect this from anybody in the church, but I also know that some of the best people in the world, sometimes the devil gets a hold of them. They do some of the most wicked things. And I want you to understand it's not going to be tolerated at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. It's not going to be winked at. And we'll help you. And if you'll let us, we will help you. But if you're unrepentant about it and you think it's normal and you think that, you know what, you're going to try to make good evil and evil good, then you're going to find a shepherd that will not budge and that will deal with your situation, okay? Now, how's the church to deal with fornication within the church? Well, verse number 22 tells some of the things that the wrong way that it was being dealt with. He says this, "And ye are puffed up." Now, in their haughtiness and pride, they decided that they would usurp God's rightful position as the only one who can determine right from wrong. I wonder if it was just somebody that was related to a lot of people in the church. Maybe they were afraid if we deal with this situation, man, we could lose half the church. Then lose half the church. I don't want to lose half the church, but don't let fornication go on within the church. They were puffed up about it. They weren't humble about it. Remember, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Well, they didn't have a meek spirit about it. They were puffed out about it. It goes on and says, and have not rather mourned. They failed to mourn about this. Listen, folks, a sin like this that shows up in the church should cause all of us grief. I mean, this ought to cause us godly sorrow. This ought to break the heart of the assembly. This ought to drive us to our knees and cause us to pray and weep tears. I mean, this is nothing to revel in or gossip about or enjoy. I mean, I'm not sure that may be a greater offense than this. But it's not something to be bantered about. It's not something to fill idle pages of a Facebook page with. It's something that ought to be treated very sacredly, and it ought to break the heart. I mean, folks, listen, I've been in the ministry a long time, 30 years in the ministry. I've had to deal with this situation more than once. Every single time, I weep a bucket of tears. I hate it when the devil wins. I hate it when some young person just doesn't listen. That's why we blow the trumpet so hard about this. That's why I talk about it. That's why I remind you young people so diligently about it. Because you may be the best of the best of the best kid here, and the minute you think that the devil can't get you in this area, you may be the next one on the list. And so I'm begging you, and I say that to our married couples too, but preacher, and not in a million years. And you know how many people said that, and 4 or 5 years later find themselves, and how did I get here? I don't even know how I got here. Okay, so I promise you, we're here to help. I mean, we're not puffed up about this. They failed to mourn. This should break our heart. But notice this, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. But folks, listen to me. It should break their heart. Yes, they should do it in a spirit of meekness. But they should have put him away, and the word away means out of the assembly. They should have practiced church discipline. Now, what is church discipline? I mentioned it just briefly, but let me have you just quickly go back to Matthew chapter 18, because it's important that the church understands this, and I may not hit this subject for some time now, so I'm going to try to do a little bit of a thorough job tonight and stick close to my notes and do it in as best a timely fashion as I can. But it's very important that the church have a biblical understanding about these things. In Matthew chapter 18, if you look in verse number 12, Matthew 18, verse 12, how think ye if a man having 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And I think I read that, and that comes right before church discipline, because that's the heart we ought to have. Okay, I'm not looking to find, you know, hey, a sheep strayed away. Oh, good, let's have mutton. But a lot of churches have that. It's almost like they're on a witch hunt. It's almost like they revel in it. By the way, be careful, because whatever sin you rejoice in that happens in another person's life is probably going to come up in your own family. Be very careful what you rejoice in. Okay? And so that precedes verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. Listen, folks, not just in this matter here, but let me say this. Your pastor and the pastor that preceded me, my father, has done this scores of times, where we've seen somebody that was getting off track, and we go to that individual one-on-one, and we're able to help that individual, counsel that individual, and get them back where they need to be, and nobody in the church needs to know a thing about it, or should know a thing about it. If anybody else in the church finds out about it, they should keep their big fat mouth shut. Because the easiest way to fix a situation and rescue somebody is not for it become common knowledge throughout the whole church. Okay, some of you won't shut your mouths. And you make it almost impossible for me to rescue and restore people, because while I'm trying to privately help them, you're publicly ruining them. And by the way, whatever you sow, you will reap. Just remember that. Okay? And so there's that happens all the time. I say all the time. It happens regularly. I'm not talking about in this matter of fornication, but I'm talking about in all areas of life. I'm to watch. And by the way, if I come to you individually and I talk to you about a concern that I have, I want you to not get your defenses up, and I want you to really listen. Because I promise you, I think the Lord's given me really good discernment. And I've just seen the same patterns happening so many times over and over again that I pretty much can pattern when somebody's starting to leave the will of God. And I don't want to wait till you're all got 1 foot out the door. I want to catch you as early as possible and help you, because little decisions that you're making, you may not even realize where they're going to lead you down the road. So one of the things you have to be open to is a pastor that loves you enough to come to you and say, hey, let me talk to you. You know, I mean, several times, this happened good night, scores of times, where I'll grab a kid that's on break time and say, hey, walk with me and let's go check the mail together. And talk to him on the way and just say, hey, I got some concerns. Now, if I'm overreacting or if I'm crazy, you tell me, but I've got some concerns. And a lot of times those kids say, no, preacher, I think what you're seeing is probably right. And what can we do to fix it? How can I help you? And that ought to be our spirit. How can I help you? What can I do? What can I do to help you? That ought to be the Church of Jesus Christ. That shouldn't just be me, by the way. You know, you're going to see some things in your individual ministry. The bus captains, that's a great thing for you to do. I don't have the close proximity to your writers that you do. And sometimes you just have to say, hey, let's go get a hamburger. The only problem is if they figure out that every time they start backsliding, they get a hamburger, then you may have chronic backsliding going on in your, but hey, man, that's all right. You know, it's just a hamburger. It's whatever. You know? But that's the spirit, okay? Not puffed up. Not I'm better than you. A meekness, a brokenheartedness, but also, watch this, a firmness. Especially and specifically involving the sin of fornication. Folks, this is something we cannot be soft on. Okay? I'll come to you in meekness. I'll come to you with a broken heart. I'll come to you to serve you and help you in any way I can to help you get back on track. But what I won't be is weak. What I won't be is compliant. What I won't be is tolerant of the sin of fornication in the church. I can't be. Absolutely can't be. Okay? So that's the spirit that we're reading this down. Is this helping you so far? All right. So I got away. You go to the brother. What about if he doesn't listen? It says, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. He shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever he shall bind on it. It's amazing the power that God gives the local assembly. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, we're talking about church discipline, and that's the way we deal with things. If something can be dealt with just me and the individual involved, I always rejoice if we can just fix it there. That's the goal. That's what I want. And a lot of times, that's successful. Sometimes a person rises up in pride. They don't want to repent. They don't want to turn from this sin. And so I would take some men of the church and go and sit down with this person again. If they are continuing, by the way, this is among you in the church. If they continue to attend the church and they contend to be involved in blatant, open immorality or fornication or even hidden private fornication, you know what? At some point, then it has to come before the church, and the church ought to then vote to what we call churching them or put them out of the congregation. Now, we do that, and I'm going to show you the reason that we do that, okay? Well, you say, preacher, but that seems awful harsh. It's not. It's not. It's the best chance we have to get them to repent and to come back. Tolerating it will just cause it to spread. Not dealing with it gives the idea amongst the young people and the other people, well, you know what? It must not be that big a deal. And so these things are something that have to be dealt with in the church. Instead of following Christ's teachings, what's happening today? Fornication immorality, affairs going on, impurity amongst the young people in the youth group. I mean, it's amazing what's going on in churches, and it's just considered normal, and nobody ever says or deals with it. But by ignoring it or tolerating it, we're encouraging like behavior. In verse number 3, let's go on. We're going down these verses. Paul states that he's not even there in body, but even from where he was, it was obvious what should be done. You see that? For verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning the which hath so done this deed. Well, you know what Paul said? Listen, folks, this is cut and dried. I don't have to be there to understand what you ought to do. If this is going on, it's not being dealt with. It doesn't take a rocket science. I shouldn't have to make a trip there. I can tell you from a far distance what you need to do immediately. And so he begins to give them instruction. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, preacher, what is that talking about? Well, we see then in verse number 4, this is to be done as an assembled body gathered together, carried out in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is to be surrendered or turned over to Satan. Why? For the destruction, that word destruction means punishment of the flesh. If his flesh is required to suffer, if he has to suffer for this in body, it might just cause him to repent so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 6, this must be done or it will begin to spread throughout the church. Immorality is a leaven. A corruption, if ignored or tolerated, will soon be seen as acceptable in the church house. Instead of following Christ's teaching, they simply tolerated it or ignored it. And by doing so, they were encouraging like behavior. Verse number 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, look, we're going to teach on down here, and then I'm going to make some conclusions. Verse number 7, the command is very specific then. Purge out the old leaven. This creates a new lump, which was called out of the world to be unleavened. We pull from our theme, the name of our church is pulled from Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So we are able then to be an unleavened or undefiled congregation because we do not tolerate this type of behavior within the congregation. And if somebody's unrepentant about it, and bold about it, then, and they insist on still being among us, then they are voted out of the assembly. Now, I wanted to stress that because I want to read a little bit from our constitution, our church constitution, on the termination of members. And I'm going to do this because I want you to understand that what we have set up in our constitution aligns exactly with the Word of God and what we need to do, what we have to do if we're put in that situation. How can somebody who is a member here have their membership terminated? Well, let me give you the list of possibilities. By request of the member. By request of the member. In other words, if the person just writes a letter and says, I no longer want my name on the rolls of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, then you know what? We don't ask any questions. We just honor that and we take them off the rolls of membership, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Any member in good standing shall be entitled as to at any time to a letter of transfer to a church of like faith and practice. How else can their church membership be terminated here? Well, if they move or they go to another church of like faith and practice, they go to join that church. That church then contacts our church and asks for a letter of transfer. By the way, listen to me. Let me tell you what churches have quit doing for the most part. My wife does a secretarial and she'll vouch for this. Very few churches, even good churches, ask for a letter of transfer anymore. And that's a mistake we're making. The standard letter that we get from a church when somebody joins our church is such and such has come forward in the request membership of our church. We ask that you make corrections to your membership roll. Thank you. Now, say, preacher, why is that a dangerous habit to get into? Do you realize that somebody can be involved in God knows what's at some other church, show up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, walk forward and say, I want to join Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Well, where are you a member now? Well, there's where I was a member of now, but we've moved from there. Okay, I'll send them a letter and tell them that they can take you off the roll and we've got you on the roll here. Well, wait a minute. Why are they leaving that church? Are they in good standing at that church? What are the, I mean, listen to me, folks. A preacher is crazy not to pick the phone up and talk to that person's previous pastor. Because you know what? What if somebody was involved in something like we're talking about tonight within the church? I've had people leave here that we've had to make leave here. And they go somewhere else and just join, and I never get a call. I never get a question. I'm going to tell you something. That shepherd is not doing due diligence. That's not wise. You don't even know who you just brought into your church. There's been a few times, I don't even do it anymore. There's been a few times where I've heard about this and called the pastor. And you know what's amazing? How many times pastors, well, I already talked to them and they've kind of explained the situation. Oh, really? Do you think they told both sides of it? Why in the world would you not call a pastor and listen to a fellow pastor that's just as interested in protecting my flock as you should be in protecting yours? Why aren't you listening? Well. And it's usually somebody's got a good job and all they can see is dollar signs. So, you know, I say, okay, find out for yourself. God bless you. I mean, it's insane. But this is how we, you know, if the membership is terminated here, it's by request of the member or a member in good standing. We send a letter of transfer to a church of like faith and practice. If you leave here and try to join a Catholic church, I'm not sending you a letter of transfer. All right. By disciplinary action of the church as at a regularly called business meeting of which the person involved shall have been notified, this shall be done by a majority vote of those members eligible, present, and voting. I remember that business meeting when Dad had to deal with that situation years ago, and I don't think very many people in this church would have any idea who it is. And if you do, don't answer the person who comes to you that's just nosy and says, do you know who they were talking about? Matter of fact, rebuke them. Rebuke them. That's not the point, folks. But I remember when my dad conducted that business meeting, he said, listen to me, I'm going to have those of you that vote yes to raise your hand and keep it up. If you don't vote yes, then I'm going to expect you to vote no. But you're not going to, as a member here, say, well, I just want to be neutral in this. We are not to be neutral about this sin. And he held the church to account at that business meeting. I mean, he said, raise your hand, and he went like this and looked at everybody. See, too many times, well, yeah, I don't want to be the bad guy. Well, I don't want to be involved. Well, I didn't vote again. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You ought to care about your church as much as I care about the church. You ought to care about the fact that your children or grandchildren are going here as much as I care about that. Okay, so don't act as if it's a spiritual thing to sit on the sideline and be neutral in this. And so that's the way it's dealt with, okay? Now, termination of membership by disciplinary action. Request of the member. Any member in good standing. Letter of transfer. Number 3, disciplinary action. Number 4, the names of those called by death shall be taken from the membership list. Amen. How about that? By inactivity. And this is something that I think was very wisely put into the Constitution. I want you to listen to it. Any member who is habitually absent from the church services for 6 months without due cause, without due cause. We have some elderly folks that are homebound. They're shut-ins. They can't be here on a regular basis. Some of them can't be here at all. We don't exclude them from the church membership rolls because they have due cause. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we got to be sensible about what we're doing here, okay? I want Mrs. Fulkerson to die a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'll hold against it that she can't be here. You know, there may be a day I not be able to be here. hate to get a letter in 6 months saying, you know, you're not escaping from the nursing home and coming on a regular basis, you know. So any member who is habitually absent from church services for 6 months without due cause, or who is continually negligent to spiritual duties, shall be considered an inactive member. An inactive member shall be ineligible to vote, to hold church office, or to teach. Any member who is an inactive member for a period of 1 year shall be automatically dropped from the membership roll of the church and shall not be considered a member in any regard. Say, what do you do here? Why did we put this in? Because folks, sometimes they do not stay among us. They leave because they know it's going to be dealt with, but their name's still on the membership roll. Well, if they disappear and they won't come and aren't accountable for 6 months, then they are put on an inactive list, and at the end of a year of being on an inactive list, they're dropped from the membership. Because, listen, somebody that hasn't attended here in 2 or 3 years but is a member should be able to walk in on a Wednesday night in a business meeting and vote about anything. Okay, if you're not going to support the church with your presence and with your tithes and offerings, then you have no business voting about anything. Okay, and that's happened in these old denominational churches. I mean, the night they tried to vote my dad out of Providence Baptist Church, he'd been there a year and a half. Half the people that showed up that business meeting he thought was visitors, never seen him before. But they were just family members who had never come, but family members had called and said, we need you at this meeting to get rid of this guy. They don't even go to church. And so that's one of the reasons that we build that protection into it. And also, again, it purges and cleans the membership roll. Okay? And so eventually, within just 18 months, you're either here on a regular basis or you're not a member here anymore, unless you have just cause, unless there's a health issue or something like that. Or number six, the non-resident membership of the church shall consist of those in full-time Christian work in another community, in school, or in the service of our church. And we sometimes send out missionaries, and this is their membership. They keep their membership here while they're starting a church. You know what? The Risers are still members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church right now. They will be until we charter the White River Baptist Church. At what time? Once we charter that, they'll become members, the charter members of that congregation. But sometimes, you know, they haven't been here much in the last 18 months, but we didn't purge them because of the situation. That makes sense to you? By the way, I think that is done decently in order. I think it's follows along. But why did you go through that? Because I want you to understand, folks, one of the reasons that we may have to take somebody off the membership at some point is this matter of fornication or immorality. Listen to me. What are you talking about tonight? I'm talking about having a heart for home. I'm talking about protecting our homes. I'm talking about our young people and protecting their future homes. You know, what's number 8 on the list of how the church can strengthen the family? Practice church discipline. Do not turn a blind eye to fornication. You know what? As far as I know, everybody's good and everybody's doing right. But I want you to listen to your preacher. If you are not married yet, you've never been married, you need to be pure. You need to be pure. If you are married, you need to be faithful in that relationship that you are now in. That and that alone. If you have after marriage and you're not married anymore, you know what? Because of death or because of a divorce situation, you still need to be as pure as you were before you were married. Just because you're on this side of marriage don't give you a license to date differently or court differently or to be involved physically with somebody while you're trying to decide what you're going to do about this long-term thing. If I hear about it, then it's going to be dealt with. I'll come to you first, and I'll try to help restore you. Get your senses back. Sometimes good people, listen to me, sometimes good people just get caught up in dumb things. I'll be your friend. I'll be the best friend you have in the world. If you'll let me, I'll get you back where you need to get. But if you buck up against it and you get defiant against it, and well, you know what, there's nothing wrong and blah, 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 and I'll keep coming here. No, you won't. No, you won't. You know why? Because these young people are watching. And you know what? We've got to protect the young people. So how was the church to deal with it? Well, we just went through that. Why we were able to do this? Because we want to be careful of giving the leaven of immorality. Listen, folks, I have talked, and I mean this, hundreds of youth pastors across America. I've counseled them. One of the things that a lot of them is calling me and telling me about is situations that's crazy. I've had school administrators that are working with their young people that have gone to work in a school. And immorality is rampant in the Christian school. It is the norm of the Christian school. I had one guy tell me, they can't tell me the last time they graduated a virgin. And that's just okay? Are you nuts? I told him, close the thing down. Close it down and start over. Folks, listen to me. Nothing will spread through a community faster than this kind of thing. You want to lose credibility as a church? Let this kind of thing go on. You want to just stop seeing souls saved around here? Let the community think that we have that reputation. So, youth group, youth pastors that say, good night, preacher, I've inherited a cesspool. They're living like animals. What do I do about this? Well, good night. Does the pastor know? Yeah, but it's this family and it's this deacons and it's sometimes even his kids and nobody wants to say and nobody wants to do anything about it. Somebody better say and do something about it. You better stand up. All right. So, we got to be. What happened? It started with the first one. Nothing was done about it. Then somebody else, we can't really deal with this because we never dealt with this. And next thing you know, you're not going to treat my kid any different than you have the last five. And why are you making an example? I don't care how long it's gone on. So at some point, somebody needs to stand up. Okay? So that, if because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verses 9 through 13, let's finish up with the conclusion. Here's Bible principles concerning separation from fornicators. Okay, preacher, let's say that our church would have to do something like that and somebody was vote out of membership. And I kind of feel sorry for them and I want to help restore them. Now, verse number 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Now stay with me. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now he said, I'm telling the church members not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with fornicators of the world. Okay, most of you men, if you weren't allowed to company with fornicators, would have to quit your job. What he's saying is, I'm not talking about the fornicators that you're dealing with out in the world. He goes on, remember down in verse 12 and 13, for what have I to do to judge them that are without, talking about unsaved people, do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judge. I'm not telling you to show up at the workplace and be the morality police and try to get somebody voted out of the coal mine because they're a fornicator. That's not what we're dealing with here. All right, we'd have to shut down the coal mines. And about every other place. Folks, this is an epidemic in the United States of America. The average workplace, it's like the Jerry Springer show. There's craziness going on. But that's the world. That's not the church. Or it shouldn't be. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. He said, if I was telling you not to keep company, you'd have to leave the planet. I'm not talking about that. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Now this is what happens sometimes. Church will take a stand like this, and somebody will have to be voted out. And the person that wasn't going to vote against them, maybe I won't vote for them, I won't go vote against them. And all of a sudden they feel sorry for them. And it's amazing how somebody who has done the most wicked things can all of a sudden try to convince everybody that they're a victim. and how mistreated they were by the church, how mistreated they were by the pastor, and how, I'm going to tell you what, and this was done wrong, and they want to be a victim. And if you're not careful, you're going to be the compassionate one. Well, I'm the better Christian. No, you're not, because you're disobeying the scriptures. Okay? He's saying, listen, once this thing is done, don't you go sneaking around and keep company with them. Don't you go over to their house and say, well, I just want you to know, I'm sorry about how it all came down, and we're still for you. For what? Listen, the only, say, preacher, you just want to, see, some folks, they have a hard time with, they think it's harsh that we we're always accused of shunning people, you know. What does this verse say? Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man which is called a brother says he's a Christian, pretends to be a Christian, claims to be a Christian, but he's a fornicator, covetous, adulterer, a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner. He said, you're not even supposed to eat with them. Okay? Sorry, folks, it's not compassionate. Okay? The reason that this works, and by the way, in 2 Corinthians, the second book, read about this. The church obeyed, did they were supposed to do, and were able to reclaim this person because they did it the Bible way. But whether you reclaim them or not, you still do it for the sake of the congregation. Again, what are you talking about tonight? A heart for home. Listen, folks, we cannot protect the homes and the marriages and the young people growing up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church by turning a deaf or a blind eye and a deaf ear to this type of a thing. Let's do right. I mean, this should not, the Bible says this shouldn't even be named amongst the Church of Jesus Christ. These type of situations shouldn't even be named. But if it comes into the church and that person doesn't voluntarily separate themselves from the church and they want to come in and flaunt that lifestyle, then you know what? It's not going to be tolerated. It can't be tolerated. Now, how do you not have to worry about this? How is it that a preacher can teach on this about every 5 years and it should be enough? Young people, be pure before marriage. I don't care what the rest of the world's doing. Young ladies, you have something precious. Don't give it up. Young men, you have something precious. Don't give it up just because the world says it's okay. I don't care what kind of struggles you're going on in your marriage. You be true and faithful to each other. If you need help, come get help. Okay, I promise you, you'll meet somebody that's not puffed up. You'll meet somebody that will approach you with the spirit of meekness. And you'll meet someone that comes in with and shares tears with you. And you can get help. But the way to fix a bad marriage is not to start investigating what's available outside of the marriage. And if your marriage is over because of divorce and death, be very careful that the devil don't come up to you and start okaying things in your mind that you can participate in just because you're on this side of marriage instead of this side of marriage. And I hope this just kind of protects the church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness and grace to us. And Lord, thank you that you are a loving, forgiving God. And Lord, I want to thank you, dear Lord, that you love sinners. Because if you didn't love sinners, we'd all be in trouble. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you're a God of the second chance and third chance and fourth chance and 70 times seven. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, to do the right things, to be a good testimony, to be very careful in dealing with this sin. More and more, the world, the culture, the news, everything we're exposed to tells us that these type of sins is no big deal. And yet, Lord, we read the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, and we know that a holy God condemns these things. But also, thank you for also being a God that if we'll confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I pray, Lord, that you'll use, please, the message tonight just to build, a strong wall of protection for the homes here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray these things in Jesus' name.